I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. We're going to continue our study today in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to pick up with verse 5. But let me invite you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You'll also be able to download a transcript of this program, and it's absolutely free of charge. Or if you want to write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write to me, I'll be glad to send you a printed copy of this and other programs of It's a Good Life, a transcript. Well, today we want to continue our study in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says there, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, the last time that we were together, I spoke to you and I said, to whom should the gospel be preached? Well, Paul's answer to this is to all nations. We have the Great Commission, known as the Great Commission, in Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19, Luke 24:47. In order to carry out that Great Commission of carrying the gospel into all the world, Christ said you're going to receive power to do that according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And note the term grace in this verse, in verse 5 of Romans chapter 1. This refers to God's undeserved favor and unmerited kindness. Paul was saved. He was an apostle only by the grace of God. And we read this last week, 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 10. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He counted himself fortunate, above fortunate. He counted himself unworthy to be able to do this because it was such a great honor that the Lord had placed upon him the grace of being able to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, Paul preached, and it was for obedience to or of the faith, according to verse 5. Paul's motive in this verse is for his name. It was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is supposed to be for the glory and honor of God. Now we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? He's placing those people who are saved with him at this point. Among whom are ye also called? Also the called of Jesus Christ. He's saying you're also called. And what God is doing, he is doing among the nations, according to verse 5. And today, God is visiting the Gentiles, the nations. Notice that in our scriptures. He's visiting the nations and taking out of them a people for his name. In Acts chapter 15, verse 14, it says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. What is Christ doing? Christ is building his church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, the little rock, and upon this rock himself, Jesus is speaking, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Paul said, God has also called you, the saved people, to spread the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We, as children of God, have also been called. Not only was Paul the apostle and these apostles that we read about in the book of Romans, not only are the people written of then, not only were they to spread the gospel, but we are to spread the gospel to all nations, to all people. We're to make no difference, race, creed, color, background. I don't care how much money they've got, how poor they are. We are to get the gospel to the world. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He's speaking now to the people in Rome. And to all who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is Paul writing to in Rome? The recipients of Paul's letter were to the Roman believers, the beloved of God. They were called to be saints, people who are set apart, people who are separated from sin and separated unto the service of Christ. Every believer is a saint, but sometimes believers do not live very saintly. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. It says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that sometimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul, as an example, gives an outline of 8 admonitions concerning prayer in these verses. Prayer, first of all, in verse 8 should include thanksgiving. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful for the Christians in Rome and for their faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Second, prayer must be through Jesus Christ, according to verse 8. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Third, prayer should be constant, according to verse 9. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Paul says in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, you can pray without ceasing, without closing your eyes, without getting on your knees. You can be in a, we'll say, an attitude of prayer. You can pray, and we receive prayer requests, and I may be in the car and some other place that, you know, it's not great to close your eyes. You may get in an accident or something, but I can actually pray and talk to God. Your eyes don't have to be closed to talk to the Father. And Paul prayed for the Romans without ceasing, and we need to stay in an attitude of prayer. Now, number 4, prayer should be genuine, according to verse 9. God was Paul's witness. He says, for God is my witness. Paul was not just pretending to be a man of prayer. Paul knew that his prayer life was genuine, and he knew God knew. The 5th thing about prayer here is that prayer should involve intercession. And verse 9 talks about that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Paul faithfully obeyed the command found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, and we need to do the same. We may not agree with the saints and everything that they say. We may not agree with them constantly, other saints. We may not even understand what I'm about to say. We may not like them, but thank God we love them. And we need to pray for all saints, whether they are having a difficult time, whether they need something specifically from the Lord, whether they've done something to get into trouble. Whatever the case may be, we need to be praying for all saints, whether we agree with their philosophies or not. The one philosophy or the one thing that draws us together is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying throw in with the World Council of Churches or the emerging church or anything like that. We need to take a stand for the Lord. I'm talking about saints, those saints of God who are standing on the Word of God. Well, number six, Paul's admonition here is that prayer should be specific. Verse 10, it says, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul was being specific, and we need to be specific with our prayers. Paul made a specific prayer request. He prayed for a prosperous journey. And there is no detail in life that is so trivial that we cannot make it a matter of prayer. If God is concerned about feeding the sparrow and about clothing the lily, then he certainly was concerned about Paul's trip to Rome. And whatever you think, maybe you have something you say, well, I don't want to bother God. You need to go to God in prayer, and you need to share with him anything that comes into your life that is causing your problem, or maybe you have some decision to make. You take that to the Lord. No matter how trivial you think it is, God knows it's important, and you need to talk to the Lord about it. Remember the sparrow and about the lily of the field. Well, next time we'll pick up with the seventh thing about prayer in verse 10. And today I wonder, as I speak, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Foremost on my mind and my heart is that you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart. Trust him today. And you as a Christian, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you need to be living for him. You need to trust him today to take care of your life. You say, do you think there's Christians who do not trust Christ to take care of them? Yes, there are. There are Christians who do not trust Jesus Christ to take care of them after they've been saved. And maybe you're one of those people. You need to cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And you need to be serving him today with all of your might. Trust him as a Christian to take care of your life in these difficult times that we're seeing. Trust into him and lean not into your own understanding, but trust in him that he's going to take care of the needs of your life. It's been good being with you today, and don't forget next time we'll pick up where we've left off in Romans chapter 1. Write me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731, or look at our website, lrwm.org. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.